think. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this third Sunday of Advent. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. You can check out your bulletin. There are all sorts of announcements, mission opportunities, learning opportunities, and of course, worship opportunities for you to look at. And also remember to sign the hospitality register, pass it along down the pews so that we can greet one another by name. We have a few announcements also this morning. A reminder that there is a congregational meeting right here, right after worship. If you're a parent who needs to shuffle some kids or you need a little extra pick-me-up cup of coffee, please get it quickly so that we can get started. And on Wednesday, if you are looking for an opportunity for silence, please join us here in the sanctuary from 6 to 6:30 for the Sounds of Silence. Parents and caregivers, the Sunday school age children today during worship have a fusion room opportunity, so you'll be able to pick up your kids from room 4, and those who are in junior choir, they can just stay right there if they would like. And St. Joseph House of Hospitality, we are serving next Saturday. So if you have not signed up already, please do. We are looking for folks to head over on Saturday to serve. We also need some extra food donations, so please check the kiosk out in the hallway. And a few announcements this morning. We'll start with Tracy.
Two announcements this morning. So my treasurer hat, anybody that has yet to turn in a pledge card, just a gentle reminder, there's still time. We have a congregational meeting today, which will be a status as of today, but then we also have the session meeting on this Thursday where we'll be making the decisions about the 2016 budget. And my youth advisor hat or scarf, anybody still have shopping to do? Anybody wait to the last minute? Okay, next Sunday you have an opportunity. If you'd like to go to Grease Ridge Mall between 6 and 8:30 or before that or after that, any time in between, there's a bin of scarves in the church office. If you would wear that, please, and you will probably find some elves that will catch up with you while you're shopping. So thank you.
Chris Solman, Public Worship. If you have never been an usher before, you've never been a lay reader, you've always wanted to, this is your year. There is a sign-up sheet out on the kiosk. We would love to add you to the 2016 schedule. Likewise, if you currently have been serving but want to be taken off that list, please let me know. Otherwise, we're rolling you over and we're including you and you're on the list. Thank you.
How good of you all to wait until the invitation comes, but worshipers of all ages, no matter where you fit in that height or age spectrum, you are welcome to come forward and spend some time coloring. I've got some new sheets out for you. And yes, after the children's sermon, adults, the chairs are quite empty. You're welcome to spend your time in worship coloring. And now, let us worship God. We light this candle on the third Sunday of Advent so that the joy will warm up our days. Listen. God is moving in our world. Listen for the new beginnings around us.
I invite you to join us, Abel, to stand as Abel and join me in the call to worship. Slowly and surely, we are finding hope and peace in the silence. Today is a day of joy. Our voices grow a bit louder. Soft. Come, Emmanuel, and fill the earth with your song. Praise be to God, who surprises us with the sounds of hope, peace, and joy. Amen.
Let us join our voices and the sounds of silence together in our prayer of confession. We confess, O God, we so easily have given into the expectations of people and situations around us. We allow the times of silence we promised for you to slip away. Forgive us in our distractions. Help us renew our preparations for your coming. We look forward to your promise to change things, to bring life and strength and courage to us, eyes to see, ears to hear, and tongues to speak your word. Continue to be with us, O Lord, as we learn to wait in the silence. We come to God confessing what is on our hearts and minds, and we do so trusting that God wants to hear our petitions and that God has already forgiven what needs to be forgiven.
We believe that our prayers will be answered in your time and in your almighty wisdom. Amen.
At this time, the children are invited to come forward.
A friend to introduce you to. You can come over this way. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All right. This is my friend, Mrs. Hasenlop, and she's going to share with you today a message.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to sit on over here. How is everybody this morning? What? How is everybody this morning? Are you good? What's this big thing over here? What is it? It's a Christmas tree. Do you guys have your Christmas tree up yet? You do? You don't? I don't have mine up either. Oh, you gotta know where to put it. I got that. Oh, yes. What does a Christmas tree mean? Well, you have no idea. What is it a symbol of? When you put it up, what does it mean? That Christmas is coming? Right? Is it a symbol that Christmas is coming? All right. Well, this tree has probably more meaning to me than most people because this is your favorite day? I'm so glad. Because this tree comes from my family's Christmas tree farm. My dad, or my brother, or perhaps I, planted this tree quite a few years ago. When I was your age, I started planting trees. You guys look surprised. And it takes a really long time for them to grow big like this. What do you think the important things are of planting a tree? What do you do? It does need water. What else does it need? And it needs sunlight. What else does it need? And yet, your hand was up. And it needs oxygen. What, Will? And lots of room to grow. You are guys are all good at this. So we start with a tree, a little seedling that's about this big. Half of it is roots, and half it looks like a stick with roots. And the important thing about planting a tree, this is really important, green side up. Okay, you got that? Upside down doesn't work. Okay, so we start with a little tree. My dad, when I was your age, he would just put the shovel in, wiggle it, and I'd stick it in the ground. green side up, kick the dirt around it. Dad would make sure that it had lots of room to grow, and we had rows of trees, okay? And every year, my dad would walk through the fields, trim anything that needed to be trimmed, move the weeds away, whack the weeds, maybe get rid of some of the bugs, and let that tree grow. Many years, okay? And so when we get the tree for church, the trustees usually say, Nancy, don't get a big tree. And so when I get the tree for my brother, guess what I tell him? I want a big tree. Shh, don't tell anybody, okay? I want the biggest tree out of the field because I love seeing a big tree. But you know something? It really doesn't matter the size of the tree because whatever... What? It could be a Charlie Brown tree because all of those trees are beautiful and they're our symbol of Christmas, aren't they? And it doesn't matter the size. I mean, look around at all you guys. You guys are also our symbols of God's love. It doesn't matter their size. How can you show God's love? By following God's way? How else can you show God's love? Instead of Christmas lights, can you show a big smile? Yeah? Instead of putting decorations on, what could you do to other people? At Christmas time, you can give food. We give food and toys to other people. So it doesn't matter our size. But I still like a big tree. But you guys start out as little seedlings, and then you will grow, and hopefully you too will grow with God's love. All right. So let's pray. Can you repeat after me? Dear God, help me be a symbol of God's love. No matter my size, I can make a difference. Amen. All right, and you guys are going to room 4.
First reading of the word today comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ.
Alleluia. Amen. I'm going to share today's scripture reading from a different translation called The Message. And there the story begins from the Gospel according to Luke. During the rule of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest assigned service in the regiment of Abijah, and his name was Zechariah. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Together they lived honorably before God, careful in keeping to the ways of the commandments and enjoying a clear conscience before God. But they were childless because Elizabeth could never conceive, and now they were quite old. It so happened that as Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working the shift assigned to his regiment, it came his one turn in life to enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense. The congregation was gathered and praying outside the temple at the hour of the incense offering. Unannounced, an angel of God appeared just to the right of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was paralyzed in fear. This is not the whole story, but from the very beginning here of the gospel story, we know that it is no ordinary one, for something extraordinary is happening. Something breaks into the mundane and everyday. It happened to Zechariah as it would to Elizabeth, and then to Mary and to Joseph. And the invitation of Advent is this: that the sounds of silence are something worth listening to in your life and mine. But the question that we've been asking ourselves this Advent season, and this text also asks, is, are we listening? The story goes on with the angel reassuring Zechariah, "Do not fear. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son to you. You are to name him John. You're going to leap like a gazelle for joy, and not only you, but many will delight in his birth. And he'll achieve great stature with God. But he'll neither drink wine nor strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many as sons and daughters of Israel back to their God. They will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah, soften the hearts of parents to children, and kindle devout understanding among hardened skeptics. He'll get the people ready for God." But then Zechariah said to the angel, "Do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and my wife, an old woman." But the angel said, "I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on God's time." Meanwhile, the congregation waiting for Zechariah was getting restless, wondering what was keeping him so long in the sanctuary. When he came out and couldn't speak, they knew he had seen a vision. He continued speechless and had to use sign language with the people.
And when the course of his priestly assignment was completed, he went back home, and it wasn't long before his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. She went off by herself for 5 months, relishing her pregnancy. "So this is how God acts to remedy my unfortunate condition," she said. This is God's word for us, the people of God today. Let us listen for a moment to the sounds of silence. The angel listened to what Zechariah was praying, what was in his heart. And Zechariah heard what the angel was saying. But was he listening? My kids assure me all the time, "Mom, we heard you. What did I say?" I'll ask back. And once in true Charlie Brown fashion, the reply was, "Wah, wah, 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 wah." Their ears work just fine, but their listening skills, on the other hand, like all of ours, sometimes need a little bit of work. So many biblical commentators and preachers have given sermons and interpret Zechariah's subsequent silence following the angelic encounter as punishment for his lack of faith in the promises of God. And I can see how preachers get there from that Bible story. Gabriel says, "Because you won't believe me. You'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on God's time." God's time. That "because" word right there suggests to us that imposed silence is a consequence, a punishment of Zechariah's disbelief. And yeah, it's real valid to hear that, to ponder that, to reflect on that. But I'm not necessarily sure that it helps us listen any better for the sounds of the good news proclaimed in this gospel reading for us on this third Sunday of Advent. It doesn't necessarily help us any more than it does when I send my kids to their room every time they don't listen. Because we need the opportunity to nurture this gift of silence, the sounds of silence in our lives. So I love the way that author Kathleen Norris, in her book Amazing Grace, writes about this scene. She believes that when the angel strikes Zechariah silent, the angel gives him a pregnancy of his own. She reads Zechariah's punishment as a grace, in that he could not say anything to further compound his initial arrogance when confronted with this mystery, so that when he does speak again, it is to praise God. But in the meantime, he has 9 months to think it over. What might a silent priest hear in the gift of silence? One preacher tells a story about a pastor friend of his who had surgery on throat cancer. And he lost his voice for a period of time. He never fully recovered it, and he's been always very aware of his limitations. And the pastor writes about his experience of losing his voice and how it really helped him, was a gift to him in connecting to the vulnerability of the silence. This pastor writes that it has been a tremendous learning experience for me. I have learned there are so many ways to communicate, to express what is on my mind and in my heart. And sometimes it is enough to shake my head, or to point with my fingers, or gesture with my arms and hands what I need to have done. I have also learned that a lot of communication depends on how much the other person wants to hear what I have to say. Because I've been in settings where people could not hear me, it's been easier to go along with the crowd rather than to make the effort to change plans or direction that the group is taking. I'm fortunate, he writes, to run in circles where people care for me and want to know what I am thinking or to respond to my needs. The people around me have paid attention to me, listened carefully to my small voice. He goes on that I've also become much more aware and sensitive to those in our world who have no influence in the decisions that are made that impact their lives. I have a wooden bell that was given to me years ago on one of my many trips to Haiti, and the message carved on the outside edge of the bell states, "No one hears the cries of the poor or the sounds of a wooden bell." When Zechariah's voice returned after the birth of John the Baptist, he wrote on a tablet, "His name shall be John," just as the angel commanded. And his voice returned, and he poured forth the song of praise that we heard as the first scripture reading last week. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for God has looked favorably on God's people and redeemed them. God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered God's holy covenant. By the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, and to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace." The subject of his praise, the sounds of silence he must have heard in those 9 months, that it is God who has been and is working in history, was at work in his own life as well. The very God who comes to set God's people free is at work in him. He has known God's light shining on those who sit in darkness and the shadows of death. When we know that, how can we keep from singing? But it is a risk. It's a risk to open ourselves up and listen in that silence, to be taken on a path that is not of our own choosing. And sometimes we fear what we might hear, that God is calling us to leave everything we love, everything we have, and go. Or the possibilities of being a person who fears their own limitations, whether by disability or, in this case, age. The possibilities that God might have new life waiting. It might just turn our lives upside down, disrupt what we thought this part of the journey might be. All that we had planned, all that we didn't even know we wanted. Sometimes, when we're really listening, we aren't sure what we are going to hear. I love the reflections of Zen Buddhists who do such a great job with extended periods of silence. And one leader reflects on how she listens in the silence. "But as long as I am chattering to myself, I know I'm not really listening to what is within. I'm not really listening when I create the narrative, the debate, the justify, if there are no words. Language and putting words to my experience may come later, but I need to start coming to that place of listening to the quiet. Sometimes I don't know if I will hear anything, but I trust that it will come if I make room for the silence, the stillness. And to trust the lack of clarity in those times, try to be willful. And sometimes we even spin more. But when we practice, when we engage in those opportunities, the moments of discomfort, to truly listening, the joy, the sounds of Advent, of new life, burst forth in our lives. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.
Gather in the sounds of joy, we also bring the sounds of our concern to the heart of God. What are those prayers of joy and concern you share with us this day?
I have a prayer for a cousin in England who is dealing with liver cancer. And it's pretty near the end for him.
Prayers for Irene's cousin who's dying from liver cancer. Go ahead, Andrea.
Andrea Hinchy Janssen, just prayers for the family of my brother-in-law who passed away this Monday. Just prayers. He was a wonderful man. He touched the lives of so many in such a special way. Thank you.
Prayers for your brother-in-law.
Velta Rushan, I'd like to ask for prayer for a very dear friend of mine for the past 35 years who was just diagnosed with liver cancer, and gallbladder cancer. She's only 60 years old. And please pray for her a full recovery. Thank you.
Prayers for your friend, Belton. Devastating news of cancer.
Bridget Wohlers, a couple weeks ago I asked for prayers for my friend Aaron's mom. She does have a diagnosis and is starting treatment, so I would just ask for continued prayers for their family. Thank you.
Prayers for Aaron's mom.
Meredith Shaw, I asked for two prayers. My dad was helping at his church and was lifting a desk from one side of the church to the other and injured his shoulder and his back, and he's having trouble with his hip now from compensation and things like that. And I also ask for prayers for my cousin in California, Barb, who's been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer.
Any prayers?
Kathy Wakeman, I'd like to ask for prayers for my dad and our family as my dad faces some new and very serious heart issues.
Prayers for your dad.
Prayers for the Vick family. They lost their 2.5-year-old daughter yesterday very unexpectedly. And her name is Emma, and our daughter works with the father.
Prayers for the family of Emma.
Paula Sosa, I'm asking for prayers for the Walkers on the death, tragic sudden death of their son. And as you know, Hannah's still in Kirkhaven going through rehab, so it's going to be a very difficult time for her.
Prayers for John and Hannah Walker, the death of Scott.
I have two prayers. One is for my coworker, one of the band teachers that works at the school that I teach at. She's 5 months pregnant, and she either has fractured her pelvis or separated it, so she has to start her maternity leave early, and she's very upset about that. And the other one is, a lot of you know my dad. He's been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So, just prayers.
Any prayers?
Good morning. This is Gary Dykes. Many of you have heard my brother-in-law was released from Strong. A lot of you haven't necessarily understood where he went. He's at Monroe Community Hospital in rehab. He wanted to tell everyone he's doing well, and that's his attitude. I'm going to try no matter what it takes. So I appreciate everything that everyone's been doing, and he has definitely moved a step forward.
Dan Charcola, I'd like to ask for prayers. Susan's brother, my brother-in-law, is facing some health issues.
And from our children this morning, they have prayers of concern for a hurt foot and for all the kids suffering with colds and yucky germs of this time of year, and prayers of concern for the loss of an uncle, and lots of prayers of joy for Christmas shopping and birthdays, for toys that were lost and found, for grandma who is babysitting, for making gingerbread houses and cookies, and prayers of joy for this new day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, for whose coming Zechariah, Elizabeth, and all the faithful of Israel waited with longing 2 millennia ago, hear the prayers of your people today. God, we mourn in exile from your presence, conscious of the sins that separate us from you, conscious of our faithlessness in the task you have given us to be the light of the world. Lord, we long for your light, the sounds of your love to erupt forth from all of us and this world. Be born in us, here at Gates Presbyterian Church, in this community, in all the places where we go. May we share the sounds of your love. Renew this church, O God, and all of the places where your people gather to sing your praises. Renew us with the power of your presence, the comfort of your word, and the courage to follow you on the path of peace and love and justice.
It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship God as we receive the morning offering.
During the season of Advent, as we await the coming of the King of Peace, we know that there are those among us who do not feel that peace, and we pray that you can use this offering to bring some more peace to our friends and neighbors that need it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seven verses of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. No, really, this is one of my favorites, but recognizing we have a congregational meeting immediately following worship, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 6, and 7. 1, 2, 6, and 7.
Thank you.
forth with the sounds of Advent coming forth from each of our hearts, our minds, our entire selves, in all that we say and all that we do. Go with the love of God, the peace of Christ our Lord, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to do it again. Alleluia. Amen.